Now, like I said, something really ancient, the Psalm 32, if you would join me there. It's as old as I don't know, like 3,000 years old. It's as fresh as tomorrow. Only God can do something like that. Psalm 32, and we'll look at the first couple of verses to begin with. This says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." I'd like to just start with a quote from Martin Luther about this psalm. It's an interesting one. It was said that one day he was asked which of the psalms were the best. And I don't know if you realize this, but later on in his ministry, he'd have students and friends, and they'd come over and dine at quite a long table, and they'd just get talking. And some of his students started writing these statements down, his casual observations, his pithy remarks, and they published it eventually in a book called Table Talk. Anybody heard that or read that? Anyway, this is taken from Table Talk. Well, some of his kids or his students asked him, which of all the psalms were the best? And he made answer, Psalmi Paulini, Psalmi, you'll check my Latin here, Psalmi Paulini, the Pauline Psalms. You got that? And when his friends pressed to know which of these might be, he said, well, the 51st, we know what that is, the 130th, the 143rd, and the 32nd. So we're looking at one of Luther's favorite psalms tonight. And he said this as he went on, they all teach that the forgiveness of our sins comes without the law and without works to the man who believes, and therefore I call them Pauline psalms. And David sings, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And this is just what Paul says, God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. That's Romans 11. Thus no man may boast of his own righteousness. And so we come to this Pauline psalm this evening, and I think that's really quite interesting, and it's easy to see why it's blessed, right? Why the man says, why David says, blessed. Now, here we have two statements. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And then, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Where we've had back-to-back beatitudes in the past, our technique has been to sort of split them and to think of them as independent beatitudes. For instance, if you remember going through Matthew 5, verse 10 says, blessed are those who have been persecuted. Verse 11 is, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Of course, there's more to it, but for time, I'll just refer you to those general statements. And some say that's really one beatitude, and we took it as two. Now, here tonight, instead of dealing individually with verse 1 tonight and then maybe next week, verse 2, we want to treat them as one. And for this reason, because Paul did. Paul treated them as one statement. Listen to this. David speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And he quotes verse 1, and then he quotes verse 2. That's there in Romans 4. And he says, David speaks of the blessing on the man. So we're going to do this evening and look at them together, describing one individual. And so we could say this, he is one man who is twice blessed. And if you are in Christ this evening, you are twice blessed. And that's putting it mildly, but we're just following the course of this psalm here. It's not hard to see why. A wonderful change has come upon this individual. Something has occurred to him, and we see something that is true of him, which is he's no longer. Let me state that again. What we see is that there was something true of him that is true no longer. There, that says it well. There was something true of him, it's true no longer. In other words, as David looks at this individual, as Paul thinks of this individual, there's a before and there's an after. There's a he was this and he is now that. This is kind of the way it goes. Now, before, we have a picture of this individual. There are some things said about him. There was transgression. There was sin. There was iniquity. There's even deceit. And these were true of this individual that's now twice blessed. So let's describe this man just a little bit more. Transgression, if you don't mind me discussing sin with you for a moment, transgression is going past boundaries. It is, you might say, like trespassing. There's a line there, and you just say, well, I don't care if there's a line there. I'm going over there anyway. It is doing what is prohibited. It's exactly what Adam and Eve did. You can eat of any tree of this garden except that one. Well, that's the one I want. And you step over a line. You transgress. Sin, you've heard this before. It's missing the mark. These are all definitions furnished by Hebrew scholars. And they say that sin is missing the mark. It's falling short of a standard because of the innate tendency within. The nature within is always coming short. So on one hand, sin is going too far. On the other hand, it's never going far enough. And then he just says there's this true of this fellow was iniquity. Iniquity, I remember Jeff talking about this. It's a word that has kind of a dirty feel to it because it implies distortion, a warping, a twisting of things that perverts the true direction it should be going and it spins it off some other way. And then deceit. What do we need to say about deceit? Fraud, deception, guile. Now, these are things that the enlightened soul looks at and says, I mean the enlightened soul now, I am the man. I am that fellow. This is the thing that the Pharisee couldn't stomach. You know, John says, come on down and be baptized for the remission of sins. And the Pharisee would think, no, wait, this is not true of me. Transgression, sin, iniquity, deceit, these things are not part of me. Now, maybe that guy, yes, but me, no. This was the stumbling block for the Pharisee, is to admit that I am the man. Well, David admitted it. Look at verse 3. When I kept silent about my sin, and then verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And so here David says, I am the man, and I hope that in your heart you can say, well, that pretty well describes who I was. And I hope you can put it in the past tense, because this psalm is a psalm of blessedness, and we've said there's a before and an after. And you're saying, now we're looking at transgression and sin and iniquity and deceit. What's the blessedness here? The blessedness is what he says. Transgression is forgiven. What a sweet word. We serve a gracious God who is willing and able, and I don't know if this overstates it, but I wanted to say he's anxious to forgive sin, to take it away, to remove it from his people. This wandering of our feet, wandering no more, and he forgives all that sense of going too far, going where we shouldn't go. And the next blessing is whose sin is covered. I'm going to quote one more quote to you. I thought this was pretty good. The covering of sin is the putting it away and hiding it from view. Now, that's an encouraging thought if you think, I don't want God to see in me, you name it. I don't want him to see that. Well, the putting away of sin or the covering of sin, let me describe to you what Archibald Simpson said. Garments, the thing you're wearing right now, these are ordained to cover our nakedness, to defend us, listen to this old speech, defend us from the injury of the weather, keep you from sunburn, keep you from freezing. You're no longer cold. Garments keep you. They keep you from the injury of the weather, and they adorn us. They make us look better, don't they? Have you ever gone to a store and you picked out something and someone says, man, now that's really flattering. That looks good on you. And that's what the garment is supposed to do. Well, he goes on to say, so the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, serves to cover our nakedness so that the wrath of God does not seize upon us. But no, he is that white raiment wherewith we should be clothed, that our filthy nakedness may not appear. There's going to be a lot of wailing on the last day when people say, well, I thought all I had to do was be good, and that there would be enough good to outweigh the bad. And then it will be seen that those garments of righteousness are what? It's filthy rags. Now, we're going to a wedding ceremony. We don't want to be adorned in filthy rags. We want white raiment. We want to be able to sit there with covering our nakedness. And this is the idea of blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Or he goes on. It defends us against Satan. This is when he talks about garments keeping us from the injury of the weather. So clothing yourself with Christ protects you from the adversary. And then it is to be an ornament to decorate us, for he is that wedding garment himself. Like Paul would say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at a man who's converted. We're looking at the work of God in the soul. We're looking at the mediation of Jesus, who is to us all of this. He is the transgression forgiven. He is the sin that is covered. He is, what does verse 2 say? How blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. There had been iniquity there before, but now it's not ascribed to the individual. He just takes it away. The one who has the book before whom all men stand or fall takes the eraser out, if you will, and removes that. It is no longer to your account. Now, this is the glorious after. And that last phrase of verse 2, in whose spirit there is no deceit, that is the work of God and how thorough it is. It has removed that from the innermost being, that sense of deception, of lying, of hiding, and trying to hide and defend yourself from the scrutiny of Almighty God. That's gone. David says, oh, how blessed you are, how blessed you are. Now, this, let's just read some more of the psalm, and we're going to hear David's experience. Is he qualified to speak on this? He said, I kept silent about my sin, and when I did that, verse 3, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Now, there's a picture of conviction for you. You're just so oppressed by who and what you are that you can hardly lift up your head, and your strength is gone until your bones are groaning. Well, he says, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I stepped into the river, and I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. How blessed is that man. These things gone. These things purged. Iniquity hidden. Transgression, sin covered. Wandering, curbed. The spirit clean. Only the Christian knows what this means. Only the Christian can say, now that is blessedness. And this is what David is singing about. And this is what we want to bless God for this evening. That he is a forgiving God, and therefore we can fear him. All right. Let's pray.